You're listening to the Isaka podcast. Today, we're speaking with security engineer Greg Witt, one of the developers of the white paper implementing the NIST cybersecurity framework. In this episode, we'll discuss how to implement the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, cybersecurity framework by using COBIT-5. Thanks for joining us, Greg. So to begin, what is the NIST cybersecurity framework? What is COBIT-5, and how do they relate to each other?
Let me start with the NIST cybersecurity framework side. One of the things that we found, if you think about back to 2012, systems all over the world were under attack from adversaries. You know, really the hackers had stepped up their game. It had become very much, you know, it had gone from, you know, the days of old where we had just graffiti attacks and things that were just being tagged for the sake of you know, just somebody's fun. It has become a lot more financially rewarding for the bad guys to try to attack our systems. And here in the U.S., we recognize the need that there were already great things happening. It wasn't really a need for a new type of standard, but there were good things happening that just needed to be shared. And we needed to share more information about what was working and was not in trying to deal with adversaries. So our U.S. president put out Executive Order 13636, which said, we've got to do something. We're doing right things in right places. Let's figure out how to share this better and get it in the hands of those who need to defend themselves. So we created, through a series of workshops around the country, people came from all over the world, to develop a set of voluntary guidance drawing on existing standards and guidelines and practices that organizations could use to better manage the cybersecurity risk to their, you know, operational technology and their information technology systems. So it was there to help them manage and reduce the risks and also to improve better communication among the different stakeholders. And in our discussions, as soon as the word stakeholders came up, for those of us who've grown up with ISACA, that immediately made us think of COBIT. And, you know, COBIT itself provides a comprehensive framework that helps the whole organization to try to identify, document, and communicate about their objectives for both the governance and the management of the enterprise's IT assets. You know, it helps us, if you think about if you think about three different elements that the senior stakeholders have to manage, all of that information technology, all the applications and the systems and the infrastructure we put in place is there to provide a set of benefits for those stakeholders, for the organization itself. And we have to balance the benefits that we get from that IT with the resources we need to deliver that IT and to deliver those benefits. And in the middle, we've got to deal with the risks of how we do that. It's always a balancing act. And, you know, there's never a perfect system where we have perfect benefits with no risk and it's all free. There's no resources required. There's always a balancing act among those different pieces. So COBIT-5 provides a way to document and to come up with an action plan that helps us understand how can we better manage those IT resources so that we get the best benefits from them using a reasonable amount of resources and certainly reducing the risk to a manageable and acceptable level so that we get all of those benefits that we want from the IT. The two work really well together. The NIST framework is there to describe the outcomes that we want to achieve, and it does so in a set of, we start with a set of functions, and we say if we can identify what matters to the organization, especially those things that are mission business drivers, then we can identify what needs to be done to best protect those resources. And if we can identify what matters and protect them the best we can, then we should have processes in place to detect those elements that go out of bounds. And if we do detect something like that, then we can respond effectively and do what we need to do to recover, to put things back on the air and get ourselves back into a condition where we can deliver critical services. So the cyber framework talks about those five functions and how we share the information around them. And then we go into another set of categories and subcategories that helps us to understand how we go about achieving those outcomes and how we communicate and organize our approach.
What are the benefits of using the cybersecurity framework?
Some of the benefits that we've had the opportunity to see as organizations have implemented it. Many of the existing frameworks they do a great job of describing at a very discrete level, very specific controls and activities and things that need to be done to achieve cybersecurity risk management. The challenge is that many of those are very low level and very detailed. which is very important for the people that are implementing those, the ones who are in the trenches or in the data center. But it's very difficult to describe what's happening in terms of business. It's very difficult to just summarize, you know, all of the different things. We summarized the activities that need to be done to achieve these outcomes. It took us 98 subcategories, and that's just a fraction of what happens in many of the information security realms. So by providing this functional view, these category views that we did, it provides a way that we can summarize really good activities that are happening. One of the things that we included in the cyber framework was we created a notion called profiles, which lets us either set up a target profile that says, this is where I want to be. This is my 2B architecture from a cybersecurity perspective. These are the outcomes that I would like to achieve to attain my risk management objectives. And we also have current state profiles. So this is where I am today. I can compare those two. I can do a gap assessment. But by using the CSF, that gives me a way that I can start to just talk about what it is that I want to do from a security perspective, not in terms of ports and protocols and wires and switches, but actually in higher level terms like asset management or protection or detection. We've even seen this year in the fiscal year 2017 metrics for the U.S. government, they're starting to do the same thing. They're looking at agencies and saying, we're going to organize all of the metrics that you need to report in terms of these five functions so that we're not necessarily asking for hundreds and hundreds of data points. We just want to know what you're doing on these five fronts. And it gives us a way that we can communicate about those functions. And it gives us a way to talk to the business managers in business terms, to summarize what we're using security resources for, to discuss what we need to do in addition, maybe to fill a gap or to achieve an action plan. So the benefits are that it gives us very interoperable terms, and it gives us a common language that we can use for sharing information about what we are doing and what we need to be doing.
How can using COBIT to implement the cybersecurity framework holistically improve information security governance?
Well, one of the key principles of COBIT 5 is that it provides a holistic framework. One of the things that the authors of COBIT 5 recognized was that there are quite a few different types of frameworks that organizations use, whether it's to manage architecture, whether it's managing compliance with a particular security regime such as PCI or HIPAA, whether it is around how you do IT service management. There are a number of different frameworks that the organization will use, and certainly the cybersecurity framework might be one of those that the organization applies. The benefit of using COBIT to actually holistically manage all of those different frameworks is that it gives you a fairly high-level anchor to which to attach each of those different frameworks. You can talk about how you manage IT under COBIT 5, and that might include the security elements through CSF, and it might include some of the service management pieces from IDOL and ITSM, and it might include some of the specific requirements that you have for things like the payment card industry requirements. So by using COBIT as your overarching framing tool, it actually connects to each of those different elements outside that helps you provide an organizing structure. It helps you communicate what you're doing. The COBIT enabling processes provide a broad range of specific activities that you can do. So once you decide, for example, that you're going to manage HR, then it can help you understand how to tie those back to organizational needs. You can plan out who's going to be responsible and accountable and consulted and informed about each of these pieces. So it's accountable. It helps with action planning. It helps provide a broad range of information that can be shared and tracked, all of it specifically actionable. So you're not just making a list of to-do things, but you're actually able to develop a specific plan on what needs to be done, how are we going to get there, who's going to do what, when are we going to have it by, how are we going to track it. The COBIT 5 guides provide a broad range of example metrics and results that you can track. So you're not just making a plan for the plan's sake. You can use the COBIT 5 process to identify who's going to do what and when and how are we going to track it. And then most importantly, once it's rolling, how are we going to keep that momentum going? How are we going to ensure that we actually achieve the goals that we set out to achieve? How do we have to adjust those if we need to? But how do we actually measure the effectiveness of the changes that we've made, and how do we make sure that we continue to achieve our management goals.
How does COBIT use in achieving cybersecurity framework objectives help leverage operational risk understanding in a business context?
As we talked about before, the objectives that are spelled out in the cybersecurity framework describe a set of outcomes, whether it's at the functional level or categories or subcategories. CSF describes a set of outcomes, such as data at rest is protected. And those are really important because it gives you the ability to talk with your stakeholders about what needs to be done, and you can have a dialogue. The whole point is to foster discussion among executive leadership and business managers and the implementation, the line personnel, trying to understand what is it we need to do to achieve our risk objectives and how are we going to get there. So the CSF describes the outcomes, but it left it to industry to determine exactly how that would be implemented, how you'd build an action plan, how you'd track it, how you'd measure it, how you'd share the information about that. NIST and the leaders who were developing that didn't want to be prescriptive in how they do it. It's up to every single user in the world to decide, how am I going to apply this CSF to my daily activities? One of the things that COBIT provides us is an actual implementation process. If you look at COBIT 5, it provides a whole implementation wheel that helps you understand what are the change objectives that we want to accomplish. Where do we need to be? How are we going to get there? And through that implementation process, it helps us think in terms of business. How are we going to achieve those change management objectives in a way that relate back to the needs of the organization, not just for security's sake, but to achieve the organizational goals, including those that have an element of security risk to them.
How does the COBIT goals cascade help organizations that are looking to use the cybersecurity framework?
The real goal of that goals cascade is to translate those stakeholder drivers, the understanding of the specific environmental, educational, and technical aspects of what's important to them from an organizational standpoint, thinking about how we're going to realize the benefits of that information technology we've applied, how we're going to get the best use of the resources that are doing what they need to do for that IT, and then making sure that we've optimized the risk for those. Each of those cascades down to specific and measurable enterprise goals, some examples of which are spelled out in some of the COBIT 5 guidance. But as each of those stakeholder drivers and stakeholder needs translate to enterprise goals, then those can specifically be translated to more and more discrete and actionable and measurable elements. Translating down from those enterprise goals through IT-related goals to specifically measurable and manageable enabler goals that draw off of different practices and processes in the COBIT 5 enabling process guideline, each of those can be measured in specific ways and implemented throughout the organization to achieve those stakeholder goals and to make sure that the benefits we're getting from that IT and the resources and risks that are inherent to using that IT to benefit the organization, that they're really managed well, that they're understood, that they're communicated and organized. And also, as you're interacting with other organizations outside of your own, it provides a way that you can summarize, these are the activities that my organization is doing, or this is what I expect from my partner organizations. Or perhaps, as one organization is collaborating with another, describe the expectations in a to be state, or describe a current activity in something like a current state profile. But it provides a way that we can document the specific expectations in a measurable and meaningful way. And again, similar to what the NIST cyber framework does, use that as a way to organize and communicate about our goals and activities.
How do the COBIT phases and the cybersecurity framework steps differ?
Well, they have very similar processes. When we developed the cybersecurity framework, it really wasn't built in parallel with COBIT 5. But once the 7 steps of the NIST cyber framework had been developed, we recognized that they really were very similar to some very well understood change management processes that have developed over the years. If you think about the very first step, the NIST CSF step 1 talks about prioritizing and deciding the scope for which you're going to implement the cyber framework. typically that's an opportunity for us to sit down with the most senior stakeholders in the organization and say, what are your goals? What are the mission drivers for your organization? What is it that you're looking to make sure you're able to continue providing? For example, if I'm, operating a retail business, the point of sale terminals and the ability to interact with customers and the processed sales transactions are going to be some of the critical type of transactions that I need to perform. So we'll meet with them to try to understand where are the priorities for the organization. And then based on that, we can talk about what threatens those. And then we can start to follow through with the NIST cyber framework steps, which are the second step would be to orient, to have an understanding of, what are the risks that I'm protecting against and what are the regulatory or legal, what other compliance elements do I need to think about? And based on that, step three is to develop a current state profile, tells me what I'm doing today to protect against those risks that I identified in step two. Step four is to do a protection needs assessment that says, okay, I knew in step two what might go wrong. I know from step three what I'm doing about what might go wrong. So in step four, I can ask myself, what's the implications of that? So what, if I'm worried about someone barging in a door and I know that the door is not locked, then my risk assessment might be that, someone could easily come barging in that door. So the next step in step four would be trying to understand the risk implications of my current state. Based on that, in the fifth step, I can develop a target state profile that says, this is what I think my organization needs to do to better address the risks that we've perceived. And then in step six, we can do a gap assessment. We can hold those two up to the light and say, I know what I am doing. I know what I want to be doing. So let's start looking at what those gaps are. And then in step seven, we implement an actionable plan to actually mitigate those risks and to address the needs that we found. Most importantly, prioritized against what we need to do. One of the challenges we found through many of the workshops as we developed the framework was that organizations had not produced a prioritized action plan, and it was sort of like swatting at flies. There was a lot of security activity going on, but it wasn't doing the most to protect the things that were most important. So we found that the security workers were running around. It was almost like a fire drill much of the time. They were finding that they needed to do different activities for different people, and it wasn't actionable, it wasn't measurable, it wasn't prioritized. So by providing this CSF steps, we were able to describe a set where they create an action plan. So after the CSF was developed and we started working with organizations, one of those groups that we spoke to was ISACA, who recognized that the seven-step process in COBIT-5 was very much similar to those. The steps didn't exactly align, but the general approach was very much the same. If you think about the COBIT-5 step one, it says, what are the drivers? What's the actual need to change? That's very much along the lines of what we said is CSF step one. Similarly, COBIT-5 step number two, the phase two, says, where are we now? What are the problems? What are the opportunities? What's my current state? So that ended up being very similar to what we were doing in CSF. The numbers don't line up, but the activities certainly do. And then going on from there, COBIT phase three says, where do we want to be? Talking about what's the target state? Where is it that we want to go? COBIT five phase four says, what needs to be done? What improvements need to be built? What are the roles that we're going to do? How do I actually plan out how I'm going to implement this change? And then phase five says, how do we get there? Once we've identified what those gaps are and we've compared the two, then we can start to actually execute on the plan. We can implement the improvements. We can operate the systems that we've built. And then COBIT 5 takes it a step further. Just doing the plan and just executing it is really important, but without actually having some way to govern and understand what it is we're doing, we may be doing the wrong things or maybe doing the right things the wrong way. So COBIT 5's sixth phase, did we get there, gives us a chance to go back and measure, actually realizing the benefits of what we're trying to do, building in those new approaches, trying to understand exactly how we got where we need to be, and checking the extent to which we've actually achieved the goals we have. How effective were we in implementing these changes? Did we do the right changes for the right reasons in the right way? And if not, what should we adjust and how do we do that? And then the final phase of the COBIT 5-7 phase process is, how do we keep the momentum going? Reviewing the effectiveness, sustaining what we're doing, monitoring and evaluating it, making adjustments as we go. So, you know, each of those components as we go through gives us the opportunity to plan out what it is we're going to do, to compare that with what we need to be doing, realizing the benefits, making sure that we're doing so in an effective way, and then sustaining those benefits throughout the process in a continual improvement model. And those very much align with what CSF's goals were, which was establishing a cost-effective, risk-based, prioritized approach to managing cybersecurity.
And finally, why is communication with stakeholders, which is part of both the cybersecurity framework and COBIT 5, so important?
One of the things that's happened a lot in the security world was there's been this chasm between the most senior stakeholders in the organization who really know the strategy, they understand the priorities for the organization, they understand what matters. There's been this chasm where they have, not all, but many, have just delegated the IT security to a group of security professionals who knew how to implement controls, and they spoke very much in terms of actual security activities that would occur without necessarily ensuring that those were risk-based, that we were applying the right number of resources to achieve the right risk management goals. And in fact, I think many have historically said, you know, they just wanted to completely avoid any risk altogether, which has been, you know, it's proven not to be something that's achievable. You know, there's risk in everything we do, and I think most stakeholders that I've met with are willing to, you know, take a look at what risks are, you know, achievable. You know, how can we reasonably try to treat different risks? Some of them are acceptable, some can be transferred, some can be mitigated. But, you know, asking organizations to take a realistic look at the organizational risk approach, when they have that dialogue with the stakeholders, it's much easier to come up with an organizational plan that is manageable and achievable. When the directive from senior stakeholders is just keep me out of the newspaper, I don't want anything bad to happen, that's an unrealistic expectation. And it makes it difficult for the security practitioners because, you know, they're constantly trying to achieve this, you know, 0% risk. And it makes it an unreasonable expectation for the stakeholders, where a single incident is going to end up as a surprise to them, and it's going to end up having a negative effect on the organization. So by providing a way that we can have a dialogue with stakeholders about, you know, what are your goals for the organization? What are the priorities? What's our strategy? What resources are available to protect the right important mission drivers for my organization? Then using both the cybersecurity framework and also using COBIT 5, we can start to have discussions about what are the priorities, how do those translate into, you know, IT-related goals and actually enabler process goals that can be implemented to help me achieve better risk management in my organization. And then as I achieve that management, to report it back in terms of business-based language, to, you know, use the language of business to speak back to the stakeholders about how we're using the resources we've been given to achieve their risk management objectives, not just trying to keep us out of the paper and not just trying to achieve an unrealistic 0% or, you know, 100% risk mitigation or, you know, no risk at all, but really having a dialogue about what does it mean to protect my systems? What do we need to do that? What training do we need? What resources do we need? How are we going to apply the tools? What do each of us expect of our user base? How is their daily life going to change? What are they going to do? By having this dialogue about the priorities and the approach and the measurements and the success reporting, both through the cybersecurity framework and through COBIT 5, we can have specifically measurable and actionable goals that can be laid out and then achieved in a plan and reported in terms of business and in something that we can use to exchange information with our partners, with our managers, and, you know, with other colleagues about how we're achieving those risk goals and what more needs to be done to better reduce cybersecurity risk.
Thanks, Greg. And that's all we have time for in this episode of the podcast. But if you're interested in learning more about COBIT and the cybersecurity framework, you can visit the ISACA website and download the free white paper implementing the NIST Cybersecurity Framework.